This is Luke Allison from CriticalBench.com, and I'm here with another weekly muscle building expert interview. This week is Tony Vilenkour. Tony, how are you?
Good. How are you, Luke? Thanks for having me.
Oh, doing great. I appreciate you coming on. I want to get right into your background. You have a sort of interesting background. You played college baseball, and you're now working at Cressy Performance with football players. Talk a little bit about that.
So my entire childhood, I was a pretty active kid. So I played anything from wiffle ball, kickball, riding my bike around, pretending I was Knight Rider, playing baseball. I was all over the place. But I was fortunate enough to earn a scholarship to play collegiate baseball. I started at Onondaga Community College in Syracuse, New York, and played there for 2 years, and then ended up playing at Mercyhurst College in Erie, Pennsylvania. And I played there for 2 years as well. You know, I had a couple, you know, big league teams looking at me. Unfortunately, being a 6'1 right-hander with a mid-80s fastball was kind of a dime a dozen. So nothing really panned out. And then I finished my degree at Cortland State back in New York with a degree in health education and a concentration in health wellness promotion. You know, after that, I did an internship in corporate fitness in Skinny Atlas, New York, which is just outside of Syracuse. I was there for about 3 years. Eric and I knew each other through, T Nation and various other forums. I would always exchange emails and, you know, discuss a lot of strength and conditioning stuff. And he ended up, after getting his master's, getting a job in Connecticut in a facility out there. And he knew I was looking to get out of Central New York because, you know, Central New York isn't exactly a mecca of making money as far as being the trainers. He mentioned to me that the place that hired him was looking for another trainer. You know, everything fell through. I moved out there, and then, the rest, as they say, is history. So Cressy Performance, we're going on coming up on our fourth year of business, and things are looking pretty good. So we're definitely having a good time.
Sounds like you're making it work if you're in business for 4 years and hopefully.
Yeah, we started in the fall of 2007, so actually it's been 3 years, not four. We've been lucky enough to be very successful. We definitely have a niche market with the baseball population, so my background in baseball bodes very well with working with those type of athletes because, I mean, honestly, like, I look back at how I trained back when I was in college, and I kind of wish I can go back in time and, you know, kick myself in the head. I did a lot of stupid stuff, but thankfully, you know, I got smarter as the years went by, and a lot of, you know, my job now entails showing these guys the right way to approach their training and prepare them for the season, and definitely having that background in baseball, you know, they know that I, you know what I'm talking about. So, and Eric, being you know, the shoulder guru, you know, it works well, you know, in addition to that.
I actually had the opportunity to interview Eric not too long ago, and it was sort of an interesting thing.
We kind of fell into it in a lot of ways because when we both moved to Boston, we were rooming together, and he was working at another facility near Boston, and I was working at Sports Club LA, which is, like, right in downtown Boston as a trainer, and you know, he started working with a handful of local baseball players, and of which they ended up winning the state title. One of the players won the state player of the year, and it just kind of snowballed from there. And each offseason, we've progressively gotten more and more professional guys in. So I think our first offseason, we had three or four minor league guys training with us. And, you know, as they've, you know, progressed, you know, through the organization, we've gotten, you know, I would say even exponentially busier every year. It seems like it doubles every year as far as the number of minor league guys that come through. So, and in addition to all the college kids that come through and the high school kids that come through as well. So, he might have told you the statistics, but I believe, you know, 70% of our clients are athletes and 80% of those are baseball players. So,
wow.
You know, we keep busy. And in this type of year, we're kind of dwindling down into our quiet time, which is definitely a breath of fresh air for us because we're pretty much on our toes from the end of September all the way through the winter. So once spring hits, we get a little bit of a break with the high school season starting, but then we start right back up in the summer. So we're looking forward to a few weeks of downtime.
Understood, certainly. Because you have your own facility or work at a sort of private, independent facility, this is something I thought you would be able to answer. Is your feeling about music and listening to music while you train?
Well, we pride ourselves on having a little bit of attitude when people come to train with us. So, you're going to walk into our facility and you're going to have, Metallica or Rage Against the Machine. If it were my way, I'd be playing techno all the time, but unfortunately not a lot of guys like techno, but I think it's important because I just think it sets the tone. You get loud music going and guys banging around some weights and it just kind of provides a conducive atmosphere for guys getting strong. So, I mean, I do see the importance of, being able to do the exact same thing and without music. I mean, you should be able to kind of fire yourself up to a degree, but I definitely think the music adds a little bit of an element that that I think a lot of people lack at times when they work at like a commercial gym or something like that.
It just seemed like a nice extra that you can have on top, you know,
Yeah, I
that
mean,
little
and thankfully, like when we moved into our facility, we had to put in our lease that we're going to be playing loud music. So, just so our
right.
neighbors know, they lined the walls of our facility with soundproofing the walls, and so our neighbors don't complain too much. Well, we maybe average a complaint a week, which isn't bad considering how often we're here and how loud we play it. But certainly we consider it part of the atmosphere. So, and people tend to. They seem to appreciate it. We have Tony's Techno Tuesdays from time to time, so we get a pretty eclectic mix of a music that goes through. That's
Well,
usually. Yep, go
that
ahead.
sounds like two good tips right there for people that are interested in their own warehouse type gym. Put it in the lease and then get the soundproofing.
Oh, that's very
Well,
important. Like, we had to make sure when we're searching for a venue for our facility that was going to be known that we are going to be making. I mean, we don't purposely, try to make a lot of noise and piss off our neighbors, but certainly we're not tiptoeing around. So, certainly we had to put it in a lease and let it be known that there was going to be some loud stuff going on. So that's definitely an important point to consider.
certainly. Good to know. In sort of reviewing your blog, one of the things I noticed was you're one of several people recently, just in the last few weeks, that has mentioned Dan John.
Yep,
And I'm
yep.
wondering if there's anything that the listeners should read into that.
Well, I mean, I've been a huge fan of Dan John for quite a few years now. So, I mean, I've been talking about Coach John for, a handful of years. And, it's hard not to listen to a guy that has over 30 years of experience. There's times I've worked with trainers at other facilities that, they read one or two books and they feel like they know everything there is to know. And I remember vividly having a conversation with a trainer. He's like, "Oh, I've learned all I need to know in the industry." And I looked at him with the most dumbfounded look. I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" Like, you have guys out there like Boyle, Mike Boyle, who's 25 plus years in the industry, Dan John, same scenario, who are constantly trying to get better and constantly, acquiring new information. And it seems a little conceited and pigheaded to think that you know everything there is to know in the industry. I just find it, disconcerting that there's a few trainers out there that feel that way. But in terms of Dan John, like, he's been a big influence on how I, structure programming and how I approach, certain progressions with lifts, like the squat and, even the Olympic lifts. And he's been a big, and he's recently gotten certified in the RKC. So, reading into a lot of this kettlebell stuff has been very, very valuable for me as far as learning how to cue people. And using the proper progressions when teaching them how to do like a Turkish get up or even just a swing. I mean, going to a commercial gym and you see people doing kettlebell swings and it just doesn't look like a kettlebell swing. It looks like they're gonna break their back. But
Right.
he's been instrumental as far as like helping me learn how to be a better coach. So anyone listening who's never heard of Dan John, I mean, you go to T Nation, he's a regular contributor there. He also has a fantastic book called Never Let Go. That's kind of like a compilation of a lot of his articles that he's written, and they're very practical, easy to read, and it's just a lot of knowledge from a guy that has a lot of experience in the industry. So certainly, I mean, there's a lot of people that reference Dan John, and I was lucky enough to meet him in person a couple weeks ago, which was kind of cool for me. So I definitely recommend people look into that a little bit more.
And the weird thing is that's actually not a plug. It's just one of those coincidences where the people who you follow follow the same people, and you know, you're looking in on yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I like to think that I follow the right people, and you know, I use my blog just to kind of relay information to other people as well. So whether it's Dan John or Mike Boyle or Robertson or even Eric, I'm influenced by a lot of the same people that they're influenced by. So, which is always a cool thing.
One of the other things I really wanted to ask you about was, if you think strength and conditioning is looking increasingly similar in terms of what people are doing, and if so, is that a positive trend?
I think there, you know, as far as strength and conditioning, I think a lot of times people try to do everything at once. Like, there's no, you know, it's basically competing demands. So, you know, you have the guys out there that want to get strong, but at the same time they want to be shredded, and you know, they just don't know how to structure their programming, you know, and it really comes down to managing fatigue. And, you know, you get these guys that think more and more and more and more is better, and they never put in, like, structured deloading weeks or have any sense of auto-regulation. So as far as strength and conditioning, you know, and equipment, you know, I'm an old school guy. Like, I think, you know, if you have a barbell and a power rack, you're good to go. There's a handful of times that I've gone to, you know, I've had to train at commercial gyms, and I watch the trainers train their clients, and not once do they touch a barbell, which absolutely dumbfounds me. Like, I can't believe that. You know, they'll just stay in one little corner and do all these cute little exercises, and you know, they don't even use something as simple as a barbell, which to me is a bit asinine, but. You know, I think people just try to fit way too much into any one given program, and there's just always these competing demands.
Something to keep in mind, certainly. Maybe you don't
need
quite so many toys or so many chains, so many bands.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything has its place, but I'm not a big fan of, you know, I love the TRX, I love kettlebells. You know, I like to think that we're able to, you know, take all these things that are tools in the toolbox and implement them into a pretty well-rounded program. But what I don't necessarily agree with is when people just use kettlebells or they just use a TRX. I think that's a trend in the industry that I feel is becoming more and more common, and one that I think is unfortunate.
Is that something you think is based on the consumer or the people who are sort
think,
of the authority
pushing
it? Yeah,
I think a lot
it.
Of times, I mean, you know, there's a lot of trainers out there, there's a lot of strength coaches out there, and they try to look different and unique, and when people see a trainer using a TRX or a kettlebell, it's like, oh, wow, that's different, and, you know, I want to try to do that. And there's nothing wrong with that, but, you know, certainly to just limit yourself to one or two pieces of equipment, I think you're kind of putting your hands behind your back to a degree.
Certainly. That does make sense. Something else to keep in mind. I really want to spend some time on an article you wrote for Team Nation a while ago. It was titled Deconstructing Computer Guy. And take a second and just sort of introduce that and maybe let people know why that's really important, why you wrote, I think, two articles on it.
Yeah, that's actually one that I wrote, I want to say, probably within the first year that I was writing for them. I just noticed that at the time that I wrote that article, I was working at a commercial gym, and I worked with a lot of clients who spend the majority of their day in front of a computer for 10, 12, 15 hours a day. And I just noticed that there was a predictive pattern of a tight and overactive muscles, or we can call them tonic muscles, and weak and inhibited muscles, or another term we can use are phasic muscles. And, you know, so they have rounded backs and other weak glutes, tight hip flexors, forward head posture. So I felt that with that article, and considering that most people who were reading it were going to be in front of the computer themselves as they read it, that it would help them start to kind of realize that, you know, sitting in a chair all day in front of a computer isn't necessarily the healthiest thing in the world. And, you know, and a lot of that too is, like, you know, they spend 10 plus hours at work sitting, and then they go to the gym and they do a lot of patterns that just reinforce that same sitting pattern. So, you know, a lot of these guys who go, while they were going to the gym and doing a good thing, supposedly, they're still doing their bench pressing and their lat pull downs and their bicep curls and their crunches, and they're getting on the bike and just doing a lot of stuff that just reinforced that really bad aberrant motor pattern. So with that article, I just wanted to get people to be a little bit more cognizant of the fact that, hey, we need to open it up and do pretty much the exact opposite of what you're doing right now. So a little bit more horizontal rowing, doing a little bit more corrective exercise as far as like opening up the T-spine, getting that area more mobile, strengthening the glutes, stretching out the hip flexors, and you know, and not only that, but realize that there's 23 hours in the day that you need to be aware of that. So, you know, you can spend an hour in the gym fixing it, but then you have 23 hours to mess it up. So, you know, stuff, you know, even stuffing stuff like how they sit in the chair or how they sleep at night, you know, placing a pillow underneath the knees or even in between the knees, you know, all these little stuff that'll add up to help, you know, break those bad patterns and hopefully, you know, clean up that posture to a degree.
And it was fairly prescriptive from what I remember. There were, you know, steps that you could follow, and you could get really serious, which I think was the idea. You could sort of change everything about, you know, your behavior if you were involved. But if someone wasn't, if they said, wow, that sounds like me, but I'm not sure I need like 20 steps right now, what's two or three things that they really should focus on change if they are?
I think a lot of them, especially for the quote-unquote computer guy, I think thoracic mobility is a huge, huge deal, you know, because that's going to drive a lot of scapular function and upward rotation and overhead pressing and anything like that. So, you know, clearing up that T-spine is gonna clean up a lot of stuff as far as what they're going to be able to do a little bit more efficiently in the gym. You know, doing simple stuff like extensions on the foam roller, doing some quadruped extension rotations, you know, just simple corrective stuff that they could do just to kind of loosen up that area. You know, that would be number one. And then number two is just everyone, I mean, glutes. I mean, Brett Contreras has done a great job at bringing the glutes to light and giving people some concept of how we can strengthen that area. But I think, you know, most people are very weak in their posterior chain, and if they had stronger glutes, you know, that will help loosen up the hip flexors, and, you know, just a lot of things come undone and good things start happening. So if I had to pick any two areas that most people need to work on, those would be the two I would pick.
And that's manageable. People should be able to.
Oh, yeah, simple, man. I mean, the objective isn't to overwhelm people, and, I mean, really simplistic. I mean, less is more. I mean, people think they need to, you know, do 15 different things at once, and that might be true for some, but, you know, usually it just comes down, you know, for 80% of the population, those two things alone are going to vastly improve their posture and their movement quality and just how they feel in general. Because, I mean, I'm telling you, like, it's a law of averages. I mean, they're spending upwards of, you know, 50, 60 hours a week sitting in front of a computer, not to mention the time that they're commuting to and from work, sitting at home watching TV, probably even at on the computer even more on Facebook when they're at home. So, you know, the more time, I mean, and two, I think just moving in general, just get the hell out of your chair and move, will go such a long way as far as just kind of like, you know, reversing those bad motor patterns that they're developing at work and at home.
Now, you mentioned that the article was somewhat older or a while ago now. Have you received any feedback, or have you sort of changed
that was probably one of my more popular articles I've written. I actually co-authored it with a buddy of mine, Jimmy Smith. But that was probably one of my more popular articles. But as of recently, and Eric can speak to this more so than I can because he's actually been to the workshops, but the Postural Restoration Institute, you know, we've been implementing a lot of that stuff. And, you know, this whole talk of being symmetrical and attaining symmetry in the body, you know, if you really look at the, you know, a lot of the PRI stuff, it's kind of a myth. Like, you know, we're kind of inherently designed to be, you know, asymmetrical. I mean, you look at a lot of our baseball players, they're going to have more external rotation on their throwing side than their left. You know, that right, you know, their throwing side shoulder blade is going to be a little bit more anteriorly tilted. You know, a lot of people will look at that, oh, we have to fix that. But, you know, that could actually be the reason why they're throwing so hard. You know, and with the PRI stuff, they're very much into the diaphragm and how it comes into play as far as our, you know, how it rotates the lumbar spine and then how we have to compensate in the thoracic spine. So a lot of the PRI stuff we've been throwing into our programming at Cressy Performance, and it seems to be working really well. I mean, it's some very, very deep stuff, and it's complicated. I know Eric will go to these workshops and kind of talk us through it, and even he's having trouble with it. So, you know, it can be pretty daunting, but the more and more that we immerse ourselves in it, and the more and more we're learning on it, the more and more it makes sense. And if anyone ever has an opportunity to go listen to those guys speak, it's pretty impressive stuff. And you know, while they use big words and long names for their exercises, it is having a profound effect on with our athletes and clients. So that would be a lot of the computer guy that we're throwing in there is just that PRI stuff.
Which I guess should not be that surprising that in 2011 we have pretty sort of technical and advanced, you know, strength and conditioning and applied research methods and
things
like that. Imagine that. That brings up a really interesting topic of sort of special exercises and how those play in mostly to sports for athletes that have sort of unique demands. You talked about that briefly. Talk a bit about sort of how weird throwing really is and if it compares to anything else in sports.
As far as just throwing in, like, special exercises and new stuff?
Well, just, I don't know. That might have been a bit too ambitious. But, you know, sort of what throwing requires, the way that it sort of can offset the body, and then what you would do to allow, you know, the body to be able to throw, basically.
Yeah, I mean, like, throwing in and of itself is probably one of the more violent actions in any sport. I mean, you look at, you're looking at about 7,000 degrees of rotation on every throw. So, I mean, that the arm takes a beating when it's throwing. So a lot of what we do is, you know, managing the arm and making sure that, you know, we're maintaining that glenohumeral internal rotation and, you know, total range of motion, you know, it's going to be, that they're going to maintain their total range of motion in that throwing arm. But with our baseball guys, there's a few things that we don't like to do with them. Like you won't catch a lot of our guys doing a lot of straight bar pressing. So any pushing movements they're going to be doing is probably going to be dumbbell based. We have a multi-purpose bar that keeps them more of a neutral position. We do a ton of push-ups with them, so we can load those up as heavy as we want. You know, just stuff that's a little bit more shoulder friendly, because, like I said, their arm takes a beating throughout the season, anyways. You know, we have a lot of specialty bars, like the giant camber bars, the safety squat bars, the trap bars. You know, we use the camber bars and the safety squat bars a lot, even with just our general population clients, just because, again, a lot more shoulder friendly. You know, you get people with AC joint issues and, you know, and the like that, and, you know, front squatting is going to be problematic, so we can still squat them just with a safety squat bar or the GCB bar. But I think, you know, as far as throwing in, you know, new and different exercises, I think there's a lot to be said about getting people out of their comfort zones. I think, you know, we're creatures of habit. We like to do what's easy, and we like to do what we're good at, which is why whenever you go into a gym on a Monday afternoon, every guy in there is benching or doing bicep curls, and, you know, the women are on the elliptical machines, and, you know, we like to do what's easy and what we're good at. So, but, you know, I think if the more you hate life doing an exercise, the more beneficial it is for you. So, you know, doing single leg work and heavy deadlifts and squats and good mornings and, you know, hip thrusters and chin-ups, I mean, you don't see a lot of people doing that stuff. But, you know, that's what's going to be most beneficial for them. So I think the more we get people out of their comfort zones, you know, the better progress they're going to make in general.
Right, which seems almost undeniable that people are going to have unique demands that we're really not going to be able to just tell them to go on a machine.
Right. I mean, I'm not a fan of machines in general. Like, sure, we have a cable machine and we have a functional trainer, but outside of that, like, it's really dumbbells, barbells, prowler, you know, we're hitting tires, we're throwing med balls. I mean, it's not to say that we don't try to perfect the most simple tried and true exercises. Like, you know, everyone's deadlifting, everyone's squatting, but it comes down to quality of movement, not so much just doing something for the sake of doing it. So, I mean, on the flip side, I think a mistake a lot of people make is switching things up ever so often that then they never make any progress with anything. So, you know, unless you're squatting 800 pounds, there's probably not a need to put chains on your back and or on the bar. And, you know, I think a lot of people just get a little too overzealous with exercise selection that they never really take the time to master those lifts in the first place. Does that make sense? So,
absolutely.
So we are using, you know, we're not throwing just exercises at people for the sake of throwing it at them, but we want to make sure that they perfect their bench technique or their chin-up technique or even their push-up technique. I mean, I can't tell you how many guys walk into the facility and, you know, they're banging out, you know, their push-ups, and I'm just like, my eyes are bleeding. Like, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, that looks horrible. So, you know, even something as simple as like a reverse lunge, like these guys, people will walk in and they can't even do a reverse lunge without tipping over. And then yet they're asking me, oh, when can I add chains to my squats? And I'm like, no, like let's perfect the simple stuff first. And then we can move on to the more advanced stuff. So, so sometimes it's a matter of, you know, my job as a coach is to kind of pull people back a little bit and get them a little bit in reality and say, hey, let's learn to walk before we run here.
Absolutely. There's sort of a weird dynamic where people are not as familiar as they should be with, you know, sort of basic movements and body awareness, but yet they really know, you know, how to load things up and get,
yeah,
you know,
make it look
like over speed,
yeah.
And
yeah,
you know, all that other stuff, go on and on. It's always,
well, people can talk a good game. It's like those people that, you know, when they have like 10,000 posts on their internet forum, and you know, they can talk a year off with about research and this book and that book, but they talk about training more than they actually train. So, I mean, that's a
different half hour.
That's a totally different topic, but
understood.
But yeah, certainly, I just think people need to learn to walk before they run a lot of the times.
Right, and maybe that means going in somewhere and having someone take a look.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
One of the things I wanted to get to was we're into 2011 now. It's early March. Have you stopped doing anything? You know, was there a New Year's resolution or something that just seemed outmoded as of 2010?
Oh, man. My New Year's resolution is to actually go on vacation this year.
Okay.
My girlfriend could tell me about that. Like, you know, Eric and I and Pete Dupuy, we joke about it a lot. Well, Eric's going on a honeymoon soon, so he's got that to look forward to. But yeah, going on vacation would be nice. But as far as anything, like, programming-wise, I think my resolution, so to speak, with that would be to kind of take a step back and, again, going to what we were talking about previously, is just keeping it a little bit more simple. I think I make the mistake, too, of trying to get too cute with my programming. You know, I deal a lot, as much as I deal with the athletes here, I also do a lot of the programming for the fat loss clients and a lot of the women that come here as well. And, you know, there's times where, you know, I'll read a new article or I'll see this new exercise. And, of course, I use my clients as guinea pigs. I mean, why wouldn't I? But I think sometimes I get a little too cute with my programming, and you know I try to throw in all these unique finishers and these circuits, and you know, when in reality these people, all they really need is just, you know, is quality movement. And so I kind of told myself within the past few months, okay, let's tone it down a little bit, let's bring it back down to the basics and really hammer that fact and go back to what I know works and see what happens. And more often than not, I mean, good things happen just by doing that. So they, you know, a lot of these times they think they need all these advanced techniques and finishers and, you know, fat loss, you know, make me puke, and that's not necessarily what they need. So I'm just making a little bit more of a concerted effort to, you know, be a little bit more simplistic with my programming, which sometimes is hard to do, but because I do like to try out new stuff on clients, but think for the time being, it's helping me kind of keep things in perspective.
Understood. Fair enough. It's a work-life complexity, simplicity balance.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as much as we're here to get our clients better, we also got to keep them healthy and keep them motivated. So it's just finding that middle ground of what's going to get them better, and also at the same time keep me sane and not have to spend all my time writing all these fancy programs. But you know, I love my job, and it's I certainly can't complain. So
I've definitely taken up enough of your time, but I want to give you a chance. If people are interested in sort of finding you, finding Cressy Performance, finding you online, how do they go about that?
Yep, I have a website. I actually just revamped it. You can just go to tonygenicor.com. It's my blog, and you know, I try not to take myself too seriously with it. So anytime anyone reads my stuff, they'll recognize that. But I try to update it daily. And also, we obviously have CressyPerformance.com, and we try to update that as far as like how our athletes are doing. You know, and you know, you can also go to T Nation, and I'm one of the featured authors on there, so I have quite a bit of articles on there. But those would be like the three basic areas where people can find me. So
sounds good, Tony. I definitely appreciate the time. Thank you again.
Luke, I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, take care.